Laura Dwyer Schletke and Bill Schletke. Laura just back from a weekend with Artitude.
Yeah, it was great.
Good.
You know, we have pulled together a promotion. I assume you know about this because you guys are helping us get the word out, where if people buy from a local, well, from a small retailer, and small equals 25 employees or less, within the city limits of Jackson, we are going to draw for a name. You go to jacksonDDA.org and enter your contact information with a copy of your receipt, and we're going to draw a name, and somebody's going to win $1,000, and we're going to do that once a week for 4 weeks, and I'm going to announce it on our radio show.
Cool.
So the first drawing is going to be next Monday for the first $1,000, and you can shop at shop often. You can enter as many times as you buy something. You can enter those receipts. So it's retail only, not a restaurant, and not to slight the restaurants, but I think that people automatically eat. But it's pretty easy to sit at your computer and go to Amazon.com, right? So we want you to get out of your seat and use your feet and go to a local small retailer. And it's got to be within the city limits of Jackson.
So how was the weekend downtown?
It was great. We were really busy. Everybody was really busy. I stopped in several shops to see how they were doing, and they were super excited.
Good.
So, yeah, and that promotion is sponsored, by the way, by Consumers Energy, CP Financial Credit Union, the Anchor Initiative, Experience Jackson and the Chamber, the Jackson Downtown Development Authority, Loom. Loom is our newest company in town, and Thinking Real Estate. And I feel like I'm missing somebody else because I don't have the flyer in front of me. But I think that's right. So there you go. We've got some good corporate sponsors that think it's important to shop local.
Shop local.
Yep, shop local. It pays to shop local. Shop small, shop local. And, you know, the Orange Peacock Gallery knows what it's like to struggle, and they have to close our doors because of this time, you know, because of COVID going on. So, and Artitude is down at the old Vermeulen's building downtown, and we've got some really cool stuff down there. So come visit, come see, come spend some money. And we'll have new stuff throughout the period coming in, too. I've got an artist bringing some stuff in yet today. We're not open on Monday, but we're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 to 7, and Sunday, 11 to 4. So, anyhow.
There it is.
I thought since the city of Jackson is getting ready to, we're going to be more aggressive on selling the vacant land that we have. And then they're also going to be selling any houses that we have to get them off of our books and get them into productive use in somebody else's hands. So I thought it would be an interesting conversation to have about how, if you buy something like that, if you're the neighbor to one of our vacant lots, or you go and you buy a house from the county tax foreclosure, what are the things that we need to, as the buyer of that property, what do you need to be concerned about? So I thought that might be an interesting topic. And Bill agreed.
Well, actually, before we talk about that, there's another subject, and this is very distressing to me, Greg, that we adopted, and I talked about this several weeks ago, at the end of October, the legislature adopted and the governor signed into law two statutes, one for employers and one for just people generally and businesses and et cetera. So it applies to realtors, it applies to employers, it applies to us as employers. We have several employees, and then those two statutes allow for, provide for immunity from liability if somebody catches COVID-19 while they are working for you or while they are visiting your property, for realtors, for example, while they're showing the property. In order to get immunity, in order to avoid liability, those statutes specifically say that you must follow the guidelines which have been, the rules, the regulations, the guidelines, which have been promulgated by the federal, the state, or the local governments. And right now, there are three principal guidelines, regulations, restrictions that include wearing masks in public places, two, social distancing, keeping distance from others, and three, limiting the number of people in a gathering, the number of people outside your immediate household in a gathering. And it distresses me that when I go someplace and I see that someone is not wearing a mask or they're not social distancing or they're in a gathering, and I drove back on Thanksgiving Day from up north and I took the back way, so I'm driving by all kinds of residences and there are cars parked outside for Thanksgiving dinner, and I understand the desire, you know, we're all getting the quarantine, we're getting tired of being quarantined. But that's no reason to let your guard up. And the state statutes have given us all an incentive to follow those three things: masks, social distancing, small gatherings, limiting gatherings. And people are not doing it. And I just, as an employer, you can promulgate, you know, it's really good. You know, we've promulgated, for example, in our company, that everybody has to follow these things. You must wear a mask, et cetera. But those, simply promulgating those rules and regs within a company or within an organization isn't enough if you don't have the people within that organization, whether it's middle managers or the employees themselves or the people who come and go, if they are not abiding by those rules and regs. So my pitch here is that in order to avoid liability, and we're going to see tons of lawsuits arising from people who get seriously ill or the estates of people who die from having contracted COVID-19 at places where people were not following those guidelines. And I just cannot emphasize it enough, Greg, that you're foolish as an employer or as a business owner or even as a private citizen when you have people in. If you are have people into your house, for example, and you now are not following those guidelines, someone who catches COVID-19 at your house could actually sue you for potential liability for exposing them to this awful, awful virus. So having said that, I'm sorry to get up on a soapbox here and give a rant about it, but I just can't believe people are not following those guidelines.
Well, there you go.
Agree.
let me take it. What do you guys do with your radio station? What rules and regulations have been promulgated by your employer?
Our doors are locked, so does that tell
you? So
you don't
even allow people in.
We're not letting anybody in here.
Absolutely not. And then within that, how many people are at the station at any particular time?
About maybe five.
Okay, and you all have your own offices. You're separated from everybody else,
right?
So there's no chance to communicate the virus, to transmit the virus from one to another because you are far enough. You're far enough apart. You're not sharing the same, microphone, not sharing the same equipment, et cetera.
Everybody has a mask. I'm sure there's a possibility, but I mean, we're taking every precaution we can.
Yeah, I mean, it's something as simple as having a coffee pot somewhere that is shared communally by all the employees. That is a place of transmission. Even though it's more difficult to transmit it on a hard surface, again, I'm not an epidemiologist or an infectious disease expert, but you know, I'm aware of what this stuff is and what it can do, and how vicious it can be. I mean, it's now hit home close to me. I have four friends of mine who have contracted it, two of whom were, one of whom felt like for 4 days he was getting hit in the back, hit in his back with a sledgehammer. He was down for 2 weeks, and he's only 35 years old. So there are people I know who have contracted it and who have had some bad experience. Anyway, that's my rant for this morning. I apologize to all the listeners for going off on that rant. But there's a practical reason, and the practical reason is you can avoid liability for being sued for exposing somebody to COVID-19 if you simply follow those things, follow those guidelines. All right. Okay, Laura, what do you want to know about taxes?
Well, it wasn't about taxes. It was about buying a property that either, you know, the municipality or the municipality owns, such as the city of Jackson, or which the city more than likely, probably 95% chance that they got it as a result of tax foreclosure from the county. And so if you bought, and the county just had two tax sales about a month ago, I think they had their last one.
You can't refer to it as a tax sale. It's not a tax sale.
Okay.
The statute was amended in 1999. Used to be that you bid in for the amount of the taxes, okay? And that was it. And if the taxes were $1,000 and you bid in at $1,000, but the property is worth $20,000, I mean, you had a huge windfall. Well, as I explained, I think a few weeks ago when we were talking about this subject or started down this subject line, is the municipality was missing out, so they changed the statute 20 years ago. There's no longer a tax sale. You can't bid in for the amount of taxes. Now what happens is there's a tax forfeiture process that happens the year after the taxes become delinquent, and then in the following year there's a tax foreclosure, which is actually the municipality filing a petition with the circuit court in the county where the property is located. So the county actually files a petition with the circuit court listing all of the properties that have been forfeited. And there are three notices that have to go out. The first two, I think, go out regular mail. The third one has to go out certified mail to anyone who has a record interest in the property. And then there's a period of redemption from the forfeiture. But then the petition goes to the circuit court for the properties that are not redeemed before the petition is heard, and there's a hearing in circuit court. What happens is that then is the foreclosure, and then once a foreclosure judgment is entered, there's a 21-day period for redemption. And then if the property is not redeemed, title to the property actually vests in the county. There are a few counties, I think there's only six or seven counties that have presently opted out of the foreclosure process, leaving it to the state, but almost all of the 83 counties in the state of Michigan have opted to do their own forfeitures and foreclosures. So now what happens is in Jackson County, for example, Jackson County actually owns the property. They're the owner. There's no, and then the sale happens, when does the sale happen? February 1, Laura?
I know they just had one that was, what do they call it? No reserve. No, like you can, if you wanted to bid $100, you could bid $100. Where the first one is, what kind of is owed on the property? The minimum bid is what's owed on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I know they just had that. I think in October, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe it was early November. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when it happened. I just know it did because I have a client who lost a property who didn't know that it was being foreclosed on. And so when you talk about the notices that go out to the individuals, what happens if the individual didn't receive the notice? I know we had that happen. We had that happen on a property that we own that we didn't realize we owned it, or I don't even remember what the details were, but it went to tax foreclosure, and we ended up having to fight the county on it, didn't we?
We had a mortgage on the property. It was vacant land. We had a mortgage on the property. We didn't own it. So the issue that the county failed to send the notice, they did a title search using an out-of-county title company out of the Detroit area, E-Title or somebody like that, and they missed our mortgage. So it wasn't a question of us not receiving it. It was the issue was the county failed to send it because their title company had missed our mortgage. So the foreclosure statute requires the county to actually have a title search performed before it goes and sends the notices. So now it sends notices to everybody that shows up in the title search that's conducted as part of the forfeiture and foreclosure.
Why would they use an out-of-town title company?
Because it's cheaper.
Yeah, well, it didn't end up being cheaper in the long run for them, right? Because they had to hire an attorney to deal with it.
I don't know why they did. We could ask Ron Ellison at the American Title or people over at Midstate might know why. I don't know why they did that, but they did, and so they missed it. But my point here is, and I think the first sale of tax foreclosed properties, and that's what it's called. It's a sale of tax foreclosed properties. It's not a tax sale. But I believe it's February 1, 2 years after the delinquency. So you got the year after and then the year after that. But at any rate, and then if it doesn't sell, then it's put up for sale again. I believe, I'm not sure. I don't show up at any of these sales. The last sale I showed up at was one before the statute got changed. But then there's a very recent Supreme Court decision, because now when the county foreclosed on the property and it got title, it sold it. Anything over and above the amount of taxes, interest, and fees, the county was keeping. Well, this Supreme Court decision said, no, that's an unconstitutional taking by the county. So now the county, as of this decision now, has to simply, when it sells a property for more than the taxes, the interest, and the fees, the surplus has to go back to the record owner. Yeah, this is a huge, huge decision.
And how long does it, because I have a client that this has happened to, and he has not received the property sold for more than the taxes by quite a bit, and he has not received a check from them. So how long does the county have to get him paid?
Right away. If I were him, I'd contact the county. And the case is Raffaelli, Raffaelli, LLC versus Oakland County. It was just decided, I think, in September.
Yeah, they were requiring a FOIA request from him.
Laura, we're out of time.
We are? We didn't even talk about what I wanted to talk about.
We're out of time.
Okay, well...
Put your mask on. We're out of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, call me. I'd love to help people with their real estate needs. It's Laura Schlechte, Thinking Real Estate, 780-3800. And shop local, win big.
Thanks, Laura.